This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Hayya 'ala al-falah.
What's the value of dunya? What's the value of this life we're living? Is there anyone in the world that can better define dunya than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was sent as a mercy to all of the people on the dunya? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't forget to say alayhi wasallam, he was walking by the market in Medina. As he was walking, he found a dead jadi. Jadi is the son of a goat, small one. That jadi was dead and its ears were chopped off. It was rotten, it was disgusting. The Prophet went down, grabbed the jadi, and he told the Sahaba, "Ayyukum, who amongst you would buy this dead goat," if you wish to say, "for one dirham," not even a dollar, "for one dirham." The Sahaba said, "Oh Rasulullah, who in the world would buy such thing? It's dead, it's disgusting." He said, "Who would take it? Who would take it? Now the offer is for free. Who would wish he would have something like this?" The Sahaba said, "Oh Rasulullah, even if it was alive, we will not take it because the way it looks with the chopped ears, let alone it's dead." He said, "Fawallahi, fawallahi." And the Prophet doesn't have to say wallahi. Does he have to say wallahi? He doesn't have to. But he said, "Fawallahi, laddunya ahwanu ala Allah min hadhihi alaykum, min hadha alaykum." Dunya, the value of dunya in the sight of Allah is lower than that dead, disgusting goat is it compared to you guys. So what dunya are we fighting for? What dunya is causing our ties of kinship to be cut when the father passes away and the will is distributed and people are not pleased? What dunya is the reason for people to break up in their friendship and relationship? What dunya causes a person to wish suicide? Why? Because someone was proposing to me and then someone rejected them and it just didn't work out. Why? What dunya are we talking about? So I have to make sure we show you the perspective of dunya first before taking any further step in today's discussion. One more. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was sitting with a sahaba and all of a sudden he says, "Now a man from Jannah is about to enter." All of the sahaba, every single one of them, immediately rotated their heads, looked at the door. Who was that man? Because their concern is Jannah, the afterlife, not this life. They understood the goat, they understood that disgusting life we live in. Corruption, lies, killing, bloodshed, cutting the ties of kinship. Corruption all over the place. They understood it's all about hereafter. It's all about Allah being pleased with me. That's all what matters. All of them looked. Amongst them was Abdullah bin Amr bin al-As. Every hadith I'm mentioning is authentic, unless I tell you otherwise. Abdullah bin Amr, and look at this detail. He says, the man that walked in, his beard was wet. Look how much they focus, because they truly want Jannah. And he grabbed his slippers with his left hand. Allahu Akbar. And he placed his slippers on the shelf. Second day, out of nowhere, all of a sudden, "Now a man from Jannah is about to enter." Everybody looked again. They're not bored. They want to know, who is that man? What difference does he do? What is it that he does that gave him that rank? They all looked. Third day, out of a sudden, "الآن يدخل عليكم رجل من أهل الجنة." Now a man for who is promised paradise is about to enter. And that man doesn't know the Prophet is saying that about him. And it was the same man first, second and third day. Abdullah bin Amr al-As, may Allah be pleased by him, he could not handle this anymore. He went to him. He said, "I have a problem with my father. We had a fight. And I told my father that I will not speak to you for 3 nights. So would you mind if you host me for 3 nights? The man said, "Sure, let's go." All what Abdullah wants is to go check this guy's life out. What is it that he does that Allah made the Prophet know that he has this rank and he's still alive? He's still alive. He went to the house and he was monitoring every single step, and I will not exaggerate. If I say every single blink, I will prove it to you. Abdullah says when he was sleeping, that man, when he would wake up in the middle of the night, what does that mean? What does that mean? Abdullah, did Abdullah sleep? He was waiting. He said when he would wake up in the middle of the night, he would say Allahu Akbar and Dhikr Allah. But he would not step up and pray Qiyamul Layl, pray the night prayers, until he would go back to sleep, until he prayed Fajr. Abdullah says, I spent 3 nights with him, أَنَكِدْتُ أَنْ أَحْتَقِرَنَّ عَمَلَهُ, which means, I was about to not just be okay with what he does, rather, I was about to belittle what he does. It was so little compared to what we do. So then Abdullah went to the man and he said, to be honest with you, I have no dispute between me and my father. Rather, it was the Prophet ﷺ who said 3 consecutive days that a man from Jannah will walk, and you were the same person every single day. That's why I came to monitor and I could not find anything special about you. Sorry to say that. So do you know what made you have this rank? Do you know? The man said, as you have seen, that's all what I do. Abdullah bin Amr, a little painful moment. I couldn't find anything special. He's walking outside the door. And then Abdullah, the other man, calls, Ya Abdullah, hold on. I think I know. Abdullah rushed. Huh, what is it? He said, throughout his day, he makes sure, before the day is ending, that I empty my heart from any hate, from any grudge, from any envy, from any jealousy, any ill feelings in my heart is emptied. I empty it. I forgive everyone. Then I continue with my day. Abdullah bin Amr says, Hadhihi, this is it. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why Allah gave you that rank, because of this. And then he says, لا نطيق, this is what we cannot handle, very tough, but we're going to work on it as much as possible. For forgiving others, he was promised paradise while still being alive. Now, after hearing this, do we have to continue the talk anymore? Do we have to talk more and more until 9 o'clock? Is it worth it? Isn't it enough? Sahaba, that dead goat is enough to us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was walking. And he said to the Sahaba, had Allah valued dunya as much as the wing of the fly, the kafir will not even drink a sip of water. So the dunya is such an invaluable point in the sight of Allah to an extent, it's not even worth the wing of a mosquito. Just realize that. So can our beloved parents forgive us, forgive their children? I'll just mention 8 categories really quick. Our parents, can you please forgive us? For wallahi, we know, most of us know, that the number one priority in our life, the number one person that we should fulfill their rights are our parents, according to the Quran and Sunnah. Number one on earth, the whole world stops when your mom says, give me a cup of water. The whole world stops. You go get the cup of water. Would you please forgive me if I was a millisecond late? Seek forgiveness from your parents. For wallahi, oh my dear beloved auntie and uncle and parents. And I know my mom will watch this, because my mom watches every video that I record, by the way. She checks what I say, any politics, anything I do wrong. And she advises, she calls me. She said, why did you say that? So I asked my mom to forgive me. For wallahi, had oh my mom and our parents not forgive us, wallahi, thumma wallahi. We will be doomed in this life and in the afterlife, no matter how religious we may seem to be. We ask our brothers and sisters to forgive their older siblings. If one day you went to go to soccer practice or to a party, and you asked them to give you a ride, and they were so lazy to drive you, and they ignored you and you missed the party, forgive them. For the brothers and sisters, forgive your younger siblings. If they were ever annoying throughout your life, knocking on the door and running away, calling you names and making fun of your voice and the tone and the language, be patient, especially if they go through the age of puberty when they're stubborn. I got a private message on Facebook by a sister. She says, brother, me and my younger brother, we love to watch YouTube videos. So since my brother appreciates your videos and he watches them, would you please do a video about anger management and patience? Because my brother, younger brother, is going through the age of puberty, and you know, they're stubborn, they're angry. So I tell her, she'll watch this with her brother, forgive each other. Can our younger brothers and sisters forgive our parents? Forgive your parents. And Allah knows, the older they get, what happens? The less patient they become. Allah says that in the Quran, don't even blow hard. Not even saying a word, don't even say, oof. وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا, and don't say anything that would hurt them anyway, in any shape, a look, a stare, a move, closing the door hard, don't do that. Rather, وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا, rather, say something that is gentle, full of love and respect to your parents. Can we forgive our parents and be patient with them? Forgive all your friends and relatives. Forgive your friends, colleagues at work and neighbors and all everybody around you. Forgive them. Forgive your friends even if they were non-Muslims. Forgive them regardless what they've done. Forgive those who wronged you and oppressed you. Hold on. I'm not saying give up your right. Seek your right, but without having any ill feelings. Be like Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. He was fighting another Muslim due to a dispute that happened between them without any further details. They fought, they were killing each other. Iqama time comes, Allahu Akbar Ali with the one who he's fighting with. This aside, and this is aside. We got court between us, no problem. We go to the lawyer, we fix things out, we have lunch together. Ill feelings aside, solve the case, seek your rights. Is it clear? But whenever you have the upper hand, and you can overpower the person, use that route of forgiveness. Forgive, forgive, brothers and sisters. The value of forgiving, why should you forgive? Why? Why? That pain in your heart. Why? That sister who emailed me, she was explaining her life in a very brief, that she volunteers at almost every convention that happens, somewhere in North America. She says, I have access to all the shuyukh you can think about. And I don't want to give you any more details, because had I tell you, brother, about me a little more, you will know who am I. But I'm emailing you hoping that you might help me somehow. A man who came to propose to me when I was 19 years old, promising to get married to me. Years and years pass by and he never comes and acts like a man and proposes, trying to go from the rear window. He eventually stops talking to me. Now I'm 26 years old and I'm not married anymore. Not hoping to get married anymore. She says, I wake up every day hoping that a car would come and hit me so I can die. Look at the volunteer that she does and how much deen and how much knowledge we thought she would have. I tell her also to forgive that man. Why? Why? I know it's painful. I'll mention three reasons. Pay attention. Three reasons. Number one, well, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, اغفروا, forgive. يغفر الله لكم, Allah will forgive you. Forgive and Allah will forgive you. Forgive and Allah will forgive you. The Prophet promised you. Are you guys doubting this? What does Allah forgiving you mean? Huh? We say astaghfirullah, what does it mean? Pay attention. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives you, three things occur by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, Allah will conceal, will forgive taghtiyah, sitara, hijab over the shortcomings which you have done in this dunya. How many times were you behind a screen watching something you're not supposed to be watching? How many times were you in a gathering listening to backbiting and Allah concealed you and did not expose you? How many times, how many times, how many times did you drive over the speed limit and Allah willed that the cop does not see you? How many times, how many times? When you forgive the people, Allah forgives you and He conceals your shortcomings. That, not just that, hold on. And when you go in the hereafter and you're in front of billions and billions and billions of people, and everybody's naked, naked. وَلَا hamsa, and you don't even hear whispering between billions of people. And you'll be called by your name, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, come, halumma عَلَى الْعَرْضِ عَلَى الْجَبَّارِ, come and meet your Lord Al-Jabbar to negotiate and to talk about the things that which you have done. Had you forgive the people and Allah will forgive you, Allah will put a hijab, a curtain, that no one amongst the billions can hear the conversation between you and Allah, and no one can know what's going on behind these closed doors. Doesn't stop here. The lastly, when you ask Allah to forgive you, now when you say astaghfirullah, you feel it. Now when you forgive, you feel it. Allah will forgive me, inshaAllah. Allah will put a hijab between you and the hellfire. Jannah is sin free. Jannah is sin free. No one is allowed to go to Jannah with sins. Had you forgive, Allah will cover your sins and will not make you have to filter out your sins in hellfire. Will put a blockage for you. So concealing you in dunya, concealing you in front of billions of people when you meet him, and putting a barrier between you and Jahannam. Can we forgive now? Can you forgive now? Or do you want more? Are you amongst the ones that are saying, brother, no, talk as much as you want. But the thing that happened to me, I will never forgive that person. No, it's tough, it's difficult. No way. Soften the heart. Soften the heart, massage your heart, literally. Astaghfirullah. Forgive and Allah will forgive you. Number two, when you forgive brothers and sisters, look at this. Your reward is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فمن عفا وأصلح فأجره على الله. And whomever forgives and makes reconciliation, your reward is on Allah. Your reward is on Allah. Do you guys comprehend what we're saying right now? When I tell you your reward is on Allah, when I went for Hajj in 08, the man who was organizing the Hajj group literally robbed us. And he told us in our faces that you can't do anything about it. We paid for a 5-star hotel, he gave us 3 stars. No problem, but we're not angry about 3 stars. But we paid for 5. And he told us in our faces, do something about it. Allahu Akbar. Such painful moment, my mom was with me. And our brother, Dr. Abdul Qadir Tayyibi, was with us. He cried. Because he was the one who was giving the halaqat and so on. He felt guilty. So much pain in our hearts. We told the people, what should we do? They said, go to who? The Ministry of Hajj, Wizarat al-Hajj. What will happen? Once you go there, according to the history, they're very liable. They actually go and help people out who have been robbed by their agencies, the Hajj groups. So we rushed. We went there. We personally talked to the minister himself. You got proof? Proofs. Receipts. Anything else? Yes, I used to record the Hajj camp that we had, and we happened to record the conversation which he used to say. Beautiful. We give it to him, he said, I got you. Your reward is on me. He said that with confirmation, and we said, let's relax. Let's relax. Before I move any forward. فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Whomever forgives and makes reconciliation, what happens? Your reward is on the ministry of Hajj. It's on Allah. On Allah. What did the man do? Wallahi, the next Hajj season didn't come. Except that man was exposed. And that agency was shut down. And they were trying to give us back a portion of the money which we lost. Halas, we stress the ministry of Hajj. How far you want to go after that? I tell you, forgive and your reward is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.